You're listening to the News Project for the week of November 4th, 2019, brought to you by GNAT TV. This week's podcast brings you these stories. The Arlington Renewal Project gives the town an update. Manchester's school reconfiguration is alive and well. And a dog named Dozer continues to cause problems. This will be an excerpt from the discussion from the Manchester Select Board. To watch the entire discussion, go to the Manchester Government page at GNAT TV.
The Arlington Area Renewal Project held its regular monthly meeting at the American Legion Hall on Tuesday, November 5th, and those attending heard some updates on initiatives the group has been closely involved with. One is a housing grant application, and another is a town administrator position that voters endorsed creating at last March's town meeting. A shortage of affordable and workforce housing is a problem Arlington shares with many other towns in Vermont, and earlier this year, they engaged with NeighborWorks of Western Vermont to secure a $300,000 grant awarded to increase housing opportunities in Arlington. The grant is designed to help would-be homebuyers acquire a distressed property in need of fixing up. The pilot project the town and NeighborWorks are launching would provide some funding for three properties. Reverend Kathy Clark of the East Arlington Federated Church led the discussion.
Houses have been inspected, and there's been a report generated to identify costs, the cost to bring them up to healthy and safe standards and living conditions. The next step is to get an appraisal of pre-repair and post-repair costs in order to start the negotiations on the purchase of the house. Once that's done, then NeighborWorks will start to work on getting the buyers connected to the grant money.
Reverend Clark also told the group that advertisements for a new town administrator position had drawn 22 applicants, and the select board is sifting through those now to determine who the best candidates were that they were most interested in having come in for an interview.
We'll have a phone interview by the committee starting November 12th, which would be a week from today. So starting next week, the first interviews are going to start taking place.
The town administrator would work under the select board's direction, but provide a daily presence at town hall and also assist the select board in managing the affairs of the town. The person who eventually is hired will start on January 1st, 2020. Most of the meeting was taken up with a review of the recently concluded farmers market that the Renewal Project also played a large role in starting and is now in its second year. The market attracted 65 vendors this year, a big jump from their initial year in 2018. And in general, the feedback from buyers, vendors, and volunteer helpers was strongly positive, based on a survey that they conducted, said the market's manager, Jessica Roberts.
One person complained about dangerous parking, pulling out right there on the road. And then we had a concern about the roaming chickens, which are the inn's chickens. And they were kind enough to let us meet there for nothing. I mean, they didn't charge the market at all to let us use the space.
So I had a lot of positivity about the market, though. A lot of markets were talking about our market, and a lot of people came in and told me that Arlington was the place to be this summer. So it was really successful.
There was also some discussion about moving the market's location across the street from the Arlington Inn to the St. James Church, which might offer more space and parking. The town's rec park is another possible option, but no decisions on that were made. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever.
Let me just give you a little bit of background first. So those of you that have been around for a while know that we've been talking about safety issues and drop-off. Funny, Marty, I see Marty and Irene, they know we've been having this conversation. I've had it for as long as back when, I was, 30 years ago, and that's just been going on and on and on. So last year, we started again the conversation, and there was a proposal that we had talked about that had a pretty hefty price tag on it, I remember. And we kind of walked away from that because we were like, whoa, I don't know that we're ready to, as a brand new merged district, be going out to the taxpayers for a bond to have this huge project and invest a lot of money in this at this time. It just, the timing wasn't right. So The issue didn't go away. Some of you maybe thought it just went away, but it didn't go away. So I've been still talking with, you know, John O'Keefe, still been having the conversations at the town level. He's been talking with the select board. So I think we've come to a place where we've got, I think it's a really good solution. John O'Keefe is talking to his select board. They seem to be on board with this, and we're hoping that we can move forward in both communities. So let me tell you a little, and what we've done is kind of separated out the project. There's what the town's going to do, and there's what the school's going to do. And I think it's a good compromise on all fronts. So let's see here if I can show you what's what. Do I have a little? Oh, there it is. Okay. So right here, I'm going to orient you. That is right. You know, there's Maple Fields right there. Okay. So. What I'm going to show you right now is the town's work, what the town will be doing. So the town is looking to totally rework this part of Main Street right here. They would be removing right now, if you know, there's those parking spaces right there, and it was terrible visibility. It's pretty unsafe. Kids are crossing over. It's hard. That would be removed. They are creating a nice, bumped up a nice crosswalk right here with the lights, so you've got that safety crossing over. We start going down this way. It's two-way traffic right here. There's one entrance road headed into the school. Right here, you'll see there's two lanes, so they're increasing the width right here. We've got two lanes, so there's a turning lane here if you're going that way. And then there's a lane that's if you're going this way. So you're not bumped, you know, you're not jammed up if for people that are going right. So there's two lanes that way. So this is two-way all the way up until we get here, which is, you know, this is the building, you know, the Shires building right here. Okay, so it's two-way. And then from there, from here on, we turn to one way. So in front of the school, in the part that runs right in front of the school is just one way.
Which way?
Headed this way, headed towards, okay? It's one way. And I gotta move this down. Let me just get this down a little bit here. Come on.
Use that side of the camera, please.
Yeah, there we go. No, it doesn't want to do that. Here we go.
Oh, there
we go. Okay. So it's one way until we end right here where we are on Bonnet Street comes in, and then we're two-way again. Okay? Mm-hmm. So then Bonnet Street is two. So it's only one way right here. Right in front of the school. So what's going to happen right in front of the school is that they're going to narrow that. You know how right now it's wide, so people park over here all the time? Mm-hmm. They're going to narrow that road so that it's not possible to park over there. Mm-hmm. And right here, they'll be putting in, this is all drop-off. There's some drop-off. So there'll be room right here for about five cars to stop and drop off, room here for about three cars to stop and drop off. But it's only drop-off. It is not parking. So there is no, there will be no space to park here. The town will also, which is really lovely, this whole sidewalk that you'll see, this whole new sidewalk up here, and that sidewalk is an 8-foot wide sidewalk, so it's not really called, I can't remember what the term is, but it's for bikes and pedestrians. It can be used for both. They'll put all new, so it's all new sidewalk, all new lighting in here, all new street lights, down that whole way. And the length, they're going to cut this curb. You see where that's bright green? Mm-hmm. That's a recapture of some green space right there. That's now road. That's a little recapture of green space, evening that out a little bit. Those of you that know that property. And what are we giving? You know, what is the school doing? The school would would give to the town, this is what we would have to go to the taxpayers, they have to weigh in on this, would give, it's about, it's a little over a quarter of an acre of the end of this field would go to parking. Okay, so that becomes, they need to expand their parking, so you've got a whole new row of parking here. So we lose some of that field. And but we gain about 0.1 of an acre up here, but we lose about a quarter of an acre down here.
So that row where the blue is, that's all, you're getting that strip away, but the one right in front of the reed, whatever.
This right here,
just that.
This is the part that mm-hmm. is new, okay? Mm-hmm. That we give, that goes to parking. So the town, and the town is covering, the town would be doing all of the costs associated with all of this road work, the new sidewalk, the reworking of this road, some additional parking right there. And then what is the school responsible for? The school will be, we have the money already set aside to repay. We've been holding off because we wanted to see what was going to happen there. We repaid all of this. It's always been a problem here, if you know it, the buses pull in, cars pull in, and you've got the basketball court here. Everything gets relocated. So this basketball court becomes visitor parking right here, okay? That's visitor parking. The basketball court is now relocated here in the back of the school. Middle school playground is next to that. And then this is the playground that was redone, that stayed, a kids' field, a play field here for them. So what we've done is there's no possibility now of kids crossing traffic, of crossing here. Everything is contained back here. Drop off here, there's no traffic. The buses still are coming in and out this way. If you are a parent and you want to come into the school, you can come in here and park in the visitor, and you could cross over on the walkway with your child. You could do that, or you've got walkway right here to, there's a drop off. But so it's, and so what, it really has limited, I think, what our financial output will have to be, and we have money budgeted, as I've said, for all of this. We're going to have to look into, we do have to create a new basketball court right here, so that will be new. We also want to do some fencing at the end of this, around that field, because kids will still use this field to play in. We'll still use, it's big enough, we've talked with our athletic guys. We'll still use it for practice field for field hockey, or we'll use it for practice field. But right now, all of our soccer games, get played at the rec, and that will still be the case. It will allow us to take this field, Bowen Field, which is kind of, it's a decent field, but it gets beat up because it's where everybody plays. We're going to be able to get that back to a much better shape because kids won't be using it for recess. So it's
what
a good athletic field.
It's
an athletic field. We'll use it for games. We'll use it for practice and for games. So I think it has a lot of promise, and we'll be talking a lot more about it, as we move forward. But yeah.
I just have a question. I know this won't really be you with the town, but I know when the town shuts down Main Street, that's the street that they redirect traffic to.
Mm-hmm.
So is that going to be affected with having that as a one-way?
What do you mean when they shut down, when they have the street?
I know there is something when they did production on Main Street last year, they shut down the street from the roundabout there, so traffic was directed to that area.
Right, I mean, that would have to, if something, that was a movie being made or something.
I just know that that's usually like the way they get around it, so I wasn't sure if that was something that was
Could send them all the way to North Street, I guess.
Yeah, it could. I mean, that we haven't even talked about that, but that was, I mean, if those things happen, you're going to make a decision. Well, no, that Mike probably can't do that and say yes to that, you know, at that time. And the street fairs are in the summer.
Am I allowed to ask the question?
Yes.
Well, it's kind of just like a food for thought, maybe. If you're already moving the middle school playground, because the whole issue with the parking and the drop-off is that crossing with the middle school playground, correct? Well, like, that's a big issue, with the kids on the middle school playground and traffic.
Yeah.
But if you're already moving the playground, why does any of the town work have to happen? Because why can't we just use the drop-off lane that's already there?
Because no one pays attention to it.
But like, why can't we just, like, wouldn't that just save a lot of money? Like, it's already there, and if we're going to move the playground so that the kids aren't a factor anyways, and then we have the additional parking where the basketball court is, and the town wouldn't need to do any of that stuff.
But I think the issue right here is that we always have problems with it. We've said forever, there are signs that say no parking here.
No, people agree. No, I'm just saying, like, just because kind of goes, they do use that as a two-way road a lot.
Yeah.
And I totally get the safety thing with the kids and the crossing, but if we're moving the playground, that's a lot of tax money to redo and make it a one-way when safety-wise it's not necessary anymore. If the kids are over there and we already have parking for the drop-off.
So, Kate, I would still argue it's still a safety issue.
Absolutely.
Because I think it's a huge safety issue with drop-off right here.
And
I think that's
I agree, but I'm saying use the bus lane as a drop-off lane. Like, the bus lane, like, already exists when you go around the corner.
On the side, you mean?
Yeah.
The side building up.
Like, going back to the teacher, like, the teacher part.
I think your point's been made.
I think this is great. No, I think that the specifics like we're discussing now is really something for the planning and not.
I just wanted to, you know, and I'm sure that they will, and the town will, they'll be doing their presentation, and we'll talk about all of that, but I still think that this whole drop-off thing has been a nightmare for forever around the safety, and we'll talk some more about that.
I wanted to comment that, because I was on this with Marty, that saving that space across from the school is really tantamount, because they were going to take a little bit more of that for parking, and that was not in my, I mean, in my estimation, I felt we always needed that.
That bugged me too. I didn't want that.
Yeah, so I mean, just that one strip of parking, which we desperately need.
Yeah.
Because there's never enough parking in the back.
No.
Take one more comment, Ben.
I just have a quick question about that field hockey field where they're adding those parking spaces. I know you mentioned that it would still allow the teams to practice out there.
Yep.
Is the field still like regulation or game size?
It's not quite anyway, so we'd probably move that to, we use the rec a lot, we'd probably have games that would be there.
Yeah. And Mems owns that strip of land off to the back where the playground has been, the middle school playground, that's Mems property.
Okay, so I just wanted to give you a heads up, didn't want you to be surprised, there will be more conversation. So the part that, where you would get involved, we're not probably going to ask you anything financially, because I think that we'll get a few estimates, but it's not any big financial change for you. But anytime any property that is owned by a school district is to be transferred to anybody, you have to get the taxpayers to agree to that. So you would have to put an article, you'd have to support putting an article on the for town meeting for the voters to vote on. So that's where you would get involved.
Okay. Calling the meeting to order. Good evening. This is a special hearing today, Tuesday, October 29th, here at Kilburn Town Hall to deal with the matter of a dog complaint and ordinance violation. This meeting is essentially going to be a quasi-judicial meeting. The Select Board is here to act on the evidence presented by the Police Department and the owner of the dog, essentially the defendants will have an opportunity to make their case following the presentation by the police department. Representing the police department is the chief. You have the floor, chief.
So our dealings with Dozer, as you may not know, I'll just quickly go over that, began in 2013. In March, where he attacked and killed a Chihuahua on Loretta Ave, which caused the select board to issue the vicious dog order, which I think you have a copy in front of you. In that order, the dog is to Dozer, is to be licensed every year, not to run at large, among other things. All these were found by and issued as conditions by the select board. That hearing was on March 28th, 2013. I'll just go over our dealings with that we have documented with Dozer since then. And they began 1 month after that order on April 28th, where Dozer was running at large again. Again on April 30th, 2013, June 22nd, 2013. And 11 other instances where Dozer was running at large, picked up by us, other people and brought to us, or brought right to the, I think at one point somebody just picked him up and brought him to Green Mountain Vet. All total for Manchester that I can find documented with Dozer are 14 incidents since 2013. I also found three other incidents where the Windhall Police Department dealt with Dozer. I think at one point you must have lived in Windhall.
But my dealings with the Windhall was where my house was broken into and where my dogs were missing. I found the dog in the back of the car 2 weeks later in an animal shelter in Springfield, and I didn't get Dozer back for 3 months.
Okay, we're not going to have an opportunity to share that. Let's not do it back
there. I don't know what date her house was broken into, but these Windhall incidents are over 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which led us to the last time on October 18th, where Dozer was running at large again, along with Maya, one of your father's dogs. Maya was returned to the home with a ticket for running at large. Dozer was taken by us because he was again now running at large, and he hasn't been licensed in the town since 2016, which was one of the conditions of the order. That's basically it.
Okay. Just to clarify, there was some background there, obviously, and some other things, but what we are looking at here is one count of violating the first clause of the dog ordinance, which prohibits your dog from running at large, and three counts of violating the sixth clause, which requires you to register your dog annually. According to town records, he has not been registered since 2016. Under the 10th clause of of the order. It talks about the violations and the sort of fines, and I know you have a copy of this, so would you like to answer this complaint? There, so we'll have the microphone.
So, the running at large, there's, I understand that 100%. I mean, he's difficult. I have two dogs, actually, and he's the only one that seems to, I mean, if he finds a window open, he'll go through the screen door. He has broken several leashes. I would love to do it on in-ground fence, but honestly, right now, and I'll explain after, also, we don't have a permanent residency. We stay with my dad right now. The second I know that he gets out, he automatically goes. We live on Roberts Road, and there's just a patch of woods. And ever since, he goes to Vicki and Adam Cole's. And they have little, well, their kids are older now, but when he was younger, they were little. He would go there. They would always give him treats, you know, so that's his favorite place to go. And unfortunately, like I said, the second I know he's out, I drive over there. It's usually where we get to pick him up. And the last incident, nobody was home. And my dad came home with my boys and walked in the door. The back door was wide open, and that's how both dogs, well, my dad's dog and Dozer were gone. We also have, my dad has another dog, and I have another dog, that they were still in the house. So he just keeps escaping. As far as the licensing, I've lived in Wind Hall, I've lived in Sunderland, I've just barely come back to Manchester. Probably I've been here, I would say, with my dad for the last year, but I moved in there because of my, the situation that I was in, and it was just a safe place for us, and so I stayed there without intentions of being there for as long as I have. And I mean, I understand that he was supposed to be licensed, but like I said, I wasn't sure where I was going to go next. And as of right now, we are waiting on a place to move into in Danby, so I haven't licensed either one of my dogs, actually, so I wasn't sure where we were going to be. The Wind Hall thing, the police were involved with my break-in. Dozer, both my dogs, I don't know if when my doors were left open, both my dogs were gone. I found my youngest one at an animal shelter in Springfield 2 weeks later, and the Wind Hall police were, like I said, they were notified because I was missing Dozer for 3 months. So the Pat Salo and Wind Hall police, I would call them all the time to find out. And then he apparently escaped from the house that he was living in and went to Taylor Farm, because Taylor Farm posted on Facebook, does anybody know whose dog this is? And all sorts of people had tagged me in it. And when I called Taylor Farm, they're like, oh, the owners came and got him. And they even said his name was Dozer, and on and on. So I called Wind Hall Police, and that's when they went to this family's house and brought my dog back at that time. So I think that was really the only dealings that I had with Wind Hall Police as far as that goes. I do know, like, with him running at large this last time, and I was hoping it was a Friday and you guys were closed, so I was hoping when I came here to meet with Mr. O'Keefe Monday morning that I could do my $500 fine, because I'm well aware, and whatever boarding costs were for the weekend, but they want me to sign him over, which I did meet with PJ on Tuesday. I was ready to do it, but we've had him since he was 6 weeks old, and he's going to be 9, and so I don't know, we were just hoping that we could get him back. My worry is that he's a 9-year-old pit bull, and to go into, like, for adoption or a shelter or anything like that, I just don't see people quickly adopting him. And he's really not a bad dog. He just likes to run. He loves people.
Thanks for listening local. For more local content, visit GNAT.tv.